Ari Carlton, and I'm going to be your podcaster for that.
Just kidding. Thanks, Rory.
So good.
Well, all right. So welcome back, everybody. This is the Fitness Reborn podcast. I'm the actual host, Sean. All right. And this today's episode has Danny Cardenas. Danny is a personal development coach for men online, primarily. He's based out of South Florida. Super jealous, by the way. I don't know if any of you listening to this right now have been following the weather patterns in the Midwest and the East Coast. It's been harsh on us up here with two blizzards in a week here. We've gotten an entire winter's worth of snow. But Danny, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thank you, Sean. Glad to be here. And I'm glad you're in one piece despite the blizzards going on there.
Yeah, well, stayed mostly indoors here other than, like I said, before we recorded here that we went out for a little bit just to get out of the house because we both get cabin fever if we're boxed in here too long. But yeah, it wouldn't have been smart to stay out there too long. Because it's really dangerous, but Well, Danny. I looked at your profile on Podmatch, is how we kind of linked up here. So it tells me a little bit about what you do, but I don't know who you are very much. And so we're gonna start there. It's kind of like That's where I start with everybody. Just kind of like give a context here and kind of a backstory. So what is your story? What's your background here? What led you to this point?
Absolutely. So yeah, guys, I'm 33 years old, based out of South Florida. And I became a personal development coach online a few months ago, just based on just hearing my conscience telling me to do so. Because over my lifetime, it's been a work in progress again. That's going to be a key word throughout this podcast. I realized that just working on myself in mind, body, and spirit, productive habits, nutrition, and fitness has helped me a lot. Over time, it's made my life a lot more peaceful and productive. And so recently, though, from mentors and influences, I've realized, hey, I've got to start sharing this with people now. It's my actual duty as a human being, you know, help people out. I can't just be selfish and guard this close to my heart, my process that I'm referring to of personal development. It's time to help people out now. So that's why I'm a coach now. And through just different experiences, trials and errors, I formulated this process. And like I said, I keep it simple and I just share what I've got. And I'm more than happy to share the insights with you guys, 100%.
So what was your life like before you made this transformation? Were you just like a complete hot mess, or were you just like, you know, just like most people are, they're just kind of like, they're going through the motions of life here. They just kind of live day by day. They don't think things out very, they don't think life out very completely. Mm-hmm. So was that you, or were you just like, I've had people on that went from like rabid addiction, drug, alcohol, prison, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So funny enough, a mix, I would say. Mm-hmm. I lived a very clean life for the past few years based on my personal development process. However, not much excitement, just getting by, working a job, selling health insurance full time, which I still do. But just really grinding it out, not hating it, but not loving it either. Just kind of drifting, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Not really pursuing my passion as my career, if you will. So just to summarize, I've lived a pretty clean life overall, stayed out of trouble because of my process. But not much excitement, not much entrepreneurship in my heart. Just really playing it easy and safe and risk averse. But things are changing now, man. I now realize that it's time to help people out. And I'm becoming more courageous, stepping out of my box, becoming more entrepreneurial, taking risks while still living a clean life. Maybe even cleaner than before, funny enough.
So you didn't take very much risk in your life. That's kind of what why you're on the podcast circuit right now here. Because it is kind of like a risk here, you know, just kind of, especially like being a guest and being a, you know, or especially being a host. When I decided to do this, it was really kind of like jumping out into something I knew nothing about. You know, it was a space that, you know, I was a casual listener to, but then all of a sudden I just kind of like, I don't know what really prompted me to do it, but I just started doing it and it's been snowballing ever since. So with the risk factors that you've taken on here, going from the life of relative ease, selling health insurance, you know, just kind of like, you know, being a regular person here, what have you learned so far?
Yeah, for sure. Just learning that nothing is guaranteed, you know, working the health insurance, it was guaranteed stability, but taking the leap and becoming more courageous into building that online side business of personal development has taught me that nothing is guaranteed. That's what actually fuels me, the possibility of more, knowing that I could burn and crash or I could shine. I like to think of the latter as my destiny. But that, if that's one thing that I've learned, is really just nothing is given. It has to be earned. I've always had that mentality. But now that I'm in the arena in that regard, the entrepreneurial arena, it just feels realer, man. And it's thrilling, actually. That's how I can put it. Chaotic, scary, but thrilling. Yeah.
So let's go into a little bit what let's go back a little bit earlier here. Let's go into a bit of maybe like your early years and your childhood, because I've learned that that's really informative of a lot of people I've had on here, because even if they've come from something, you know, a relatively stable childhood, there was something that kind of eats away at them, or something that just kind of like has stayed with them for years and years and years, and has caused them to become the person that I'm talking to now. Now you said that you had a pretty good childhood. So nothing like truly traumatic there. But so what was it like just growing up?
Yeah, growing up was a mixed bag of things. Not supreme harmony, nor total chaos. It was weird. Mm-hmm. Why do I say that? Because I come from a working class family. My father and mother, both principled people, good people, when sober. My father, loved him to death, but he had a drinking problem. And many times it would get out of hand, and it would, you know, cause domestic disputes, right? Mm-hmm. Physical, verbal, you name it. It wasn't an everyday thing, but there always was a danger of it. Interestingly enough, he's a very interesting man. He's someone who I can use as a model to project myself forward. Like I said previously, very principled, ethical guy for the most part. However, his vice was the drinking. That's where he would turn into a demon, like many people do, right? Good guys turn bad once that freaking alcohol hits their system, and there's no going back. It's a complete transformation. And so that told me one thing, man, that helps me now. That it's not just about being a principled person, but controlling vices to the urge to drink or do whatever is there in the back of my mind. The little devil on my shoulder, ignoring that no matter what. And that can help me be a principled man always, not just when I'm... about my day-to-day business. Whenever something bad, a temptation comes up, I just cut it out real quick because my process that I've developed. So I use him as really an inspiration. I look at it as a blessing. A lot of bad nights growing up, scary nights, but it serves me well nowadays. I mean, if I didn't have that example, I wouldn't know what to do now, right? That's a big influence on me. So
do you drink at all yourself?
Rarely, on occasion. Lightly when I do.
Yeah, because I've Not really anything real similar to that, but because, you know, my dad did drink and still does drink a lot. I've seen the effects of that has happened on and on other people too. I should say that. And I did for a lot of years drink pretty regularly and sometimes even drank pretty heavily. Now I don't touch it at all because, you know, you don't really think of it as being like a trauma in the traditional sense. You know, people think trauma is like something that is just absolutely crippling, but it's something that really kind of like, I think, just stays with you for life and kind of acts as that kind of that North Star, like you said. It's like, well, you know, I saw this the way it was with my dad, and this is how I know to stay away from it and know how I know how to nip it in the bud whenever it shows up in my life, you know?
There you go. North Star. I like that. Guiding light. Same thing. Potato, potato. I love it, man. That's good.
So the vices, now we've all got them. The vice was for your father was the drinking. So how do you deal with vices in your life? You just said that you recall the memories of your dad and his drinking. That's how you know how to really kind of stand up to them when they show up. But how do you deal with vices, and how do you recommend everyone else deals with vices?
Oh, for sure. Based on experience, man, I'd say just living a personal development process daily in mind, body, and spirit. For me, it's been productive habits like reading, waking up early, nutrition, and fitness. By becoming supremely disciplined in those things, what happens is that when bad negative feelings or emotions, including vices, come to the forefront of your thinking, you automatically either cut them off, or you may consider them for a bit, but say, no, if I dig into this, this is not good for me. And in fact, I'm already so disciplined in everything else that I do, that would be weak of me to indulge in this. So no. Okay. So for me, for example, for a long time, some of my vices were I would take sleeping medications. Nothing hard, but like, what's it called? It's an over-the-counter. You used to fall asleep. Melatonin?
Melatonin, yeah.
Melatonin. Nothing serious, but still, I think if you're using it daily, like you have to have it in your mind, it could be considered advice, frankly. It's the form of dependency, whether it's hardcore or not. Pornography also. I would have to watch at least once a week. And so nowadays, I become so disciplined in my, again, productive habits, my nutrition and fitness, that those feelings don't even come to mind, the temptations. And when they come, I say, no, it's not good for me, man. Because I fall into those vices, I'm going to feel guilt. That's the last thing I want to feel, man. So I want to be disciplined throughout in everything that I do, including kicking those vices to the wayside when they come to mind, man. 100%.
So your recommendation for someone dealing with vices, whether it be, you know, something as, you know, yeah, the problem is like so many vices are easily accessible, you know, booze is legal, pornography is legal and very easily accessed. But so how would you recommend to somebody, you know, just kind of starting out with who say they have a whole list of vices that they deal with, whole list of things that they, you know, routinely dip into and they might feel guilty about afterwards? How would you go about helping them?
I'd say first, just do an honest self-assessment. Really understand, realize, and jot down physically or figuratively what your vices are. And from there, just look to get clean in mind, body, and spirit. Because like I said, the way you do one thing is how you do everything. Bedros Krulian. I love that quote. And so really just take an account. Honest self-assessment is the root. Without that, there's nothing. There's no clarity. There's no, again, keyword honesty. So once you do that, you know what you need to eliminate. And from there, formulate yourself a program or hire yourself a coach who can help you establish, again, those productive habits, early wake-ups, reading, nutrition, and fitness. So that way, you're always in a high frequency, doing things correctly, healthy things. That way, when those thoughts and those vices come to mind, there's really no chance for them to thrive. But self-assessment is the first thing, and notating your vices. You got to be honest with yourself to begin. That's how it starts.
So when you're dealing with somebody, say they did the self-assessment here, okay, and they did, you know, on the presumption that they were honest about, they were honest with themselves here. And that's kind of like the biggest problem that I have run into, you know, myself here when I work with people here is like, and, you know, people who have worked with me have noticed the same kind of problem here. You ask people to be honest with themselves here, but then it's not. Once you really start digging into it, you realize it's not as honest as they think it is. You know, it's always being dressed up. It's not laid bare. You know, people are just not naturally going to be that severe on themselves here. You know, that people are not naturally going to be like David Goggins saying like, no, I don't have just a little bit of weight problem. I'm not just a little bit overweight here. No, I'm freaking fat. That's how he characterized his self-assessment here. You know, he was just brutal on himself. How do you cut through the BS when you're dealing with people like that?
Honestly, I haven't dealt with someone who has extreme vices who they won't even consider, you know, uncovering or peeling away that onion. Based on experience, I would just say be straight up upfront, ask them what your biggest vice is and go off of that. I don't know at this point because I'm still rather new at coaching, how to really dig down to unpeel that onion to really get the truth out of someone. All I can do is based on experience is ask them, what are your biggest vices? What comes to mind as the main thing that's holding you back? And that's my honest answer to that, man.
Gotcha. Okay. So you live a very disciplined life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what's your, just as a curiosity, like what's your kind of your daily routine like?
Yeah, sure. So I do my daily process. I love to call it that. Personal development in mind, body, and spirit. Wake up early as possible. I wake up at 2:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, and I'll explain why. First, I wake up that early. I think forcing myself to wake up at that time just shows gratitude for life. That's a spirit component. From there, I get reading. I read at least 10 pages of a book a day. Get the mind going. From there, I work out. That's body being worked on. Get in a high-frequency state with the endorphins and dopamine running. So by the time I get back home, okay, I do some marketing content for my online business. And from there, by the time I step into my full-time job at 10 a.m., I'm already beaming high energy. I'm at a high frequency again in mind, body, and spirit. It's all aligned. I've already taken care of Danny in the morning. Danny's good now. I've taken care of myself, let go of all bad thoughts. I've got the dopamine and endorphins going. I'm ready to hit the ground running. It's now time to serve people. I'm just a ball of energy that needs to be released somehow, right? Mm-hmm. Time to help other people now, transcend to others. So then I head to my job full-time selling health insurance, and I can just serve people best I can, man. It's all about them. Danny's good. He already took care of himself. It's time to help John Doe with his health insurance now, and my team, my managers, my leadership. And that's my process in the morning, man, 100%.
And that fuels you all throughout the day?
Yeah.
Keeps you going?
Yeah. 100%.
All right. And so you just kind of, you go through the same process again. You wake up 2:30 in the morning. What time? Like 2:30 in the morning is super, super early here. You must have a lot you need to do before you even start your actual job at 10 a.m.
For sure, man. One is my process itself. Again, reading, workout. But on right. top of that, remember, I do my content. A lot of my content recording for social media posts, I do it before my full time, which starts at 10 a.m. Gotcha. So that explains part of the reason for waking up that early.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you got everything really dialed in here. So how long did it take you to really kind of get that flow going here too? Because it's not, I don't think it's natural for someone to say, man, I'm going to wake up 2:30 in the morning and start getting going on this. You must go to bed super early here. You must go to bed about like 7 at night.
No. Usually fall asleep around 10:30 PM. So wow, again,
you're going about 4 hours of sleep.
4 hours of sleep, Monday through Friday, because Monday through Friday is when I wake up at 2:30. On a weekend, it's 4:30, to be exact. Still averaging about maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night throughout the week. Wow. And so, yeah, I don't go to sleep too early, too late. Just enough for me to be fueled. Luckily, though, several things carry me, despite the optimal sleep, as they say. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, man, as long as I have a proper nutrition in place, exercise and optimism, that'll carry me. I believe when the body starts to fail, the spirit and mind can carry you further. And that's what I've experienced. I've been doing this for a while now, at least half a year, this routine. I mean, it hasn't failed me. Sure, I feel tired at times, but that ether is what really carries me more than anything. It can be done.
So you don't really buy into the 8 hours sleep that you need? No?
Based on experience, no.
Yeah, I think sleep is actually very subjective. Some people actually do need it to actually power. I mean, you hear about, you know, certain professional athletes like LeBron James, he gets like 10 hours of sleep or something like that.
Right.
And that's what he needs. But yeah, I think the sleep, like the eating and stuff like that, is pretty open-ended and can be pretty well grafted onto the person that we're talking about individually. But wow, still, that's, can't imagine, at least not for a long time. I have run on 4 hours of sleep for a time when I needed to, but and maybe if I tried it out for long enough, I would actually just kind of condition myself to actually operate like that normally. But man, that's crazy little sleep to work on, especially to power on for the entire day, man.
It's empowering, man. As long as you have the right fuel, like I said, food, nutrition, but overall the optimism, the mindset. And really to set vision, like I said, man, more than the physical, the spirit and mind take over at a certain point. I like to call it the ether, right. Man. That's what it's all about. But you have to experience it to really believe it. Right. People have different opinions. You need 8 hours, need 5, 4. I'd say it's one of those things, man. Like I said, again, you got to experience it to believe it. Simple as that. I keep things simple, Sean, just very simple. Either do it or you don't. You find out for yourself. Give it a fair shot for a little extended period. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Everything else is subjective, up for debate. Experience is the best teacher. So
sure. So okay. So on that note, you mentioned nutrition here. So what's your eating like?
Yeah, sure. Keep it very simple. I actually have a coach currently, Wes Watson. As far as my nutrition, I'm currently bulking. I have a set amount of macros, very high protein, carbs, and fat. As far as eating, I personally have a set of macros for each. Like for my carbs, I'll have daily English muffins, rice cakes, bananas, protein, chicken breast for the most part, sometimes tuna. Just very uniform, though. That's my style. Very uniform and simple. I go more off the macros numbers, but even then, what I eat, very uniform, very consistent, like everything else that I do. I don't switch my foods often. not everyone has to do it that way, but I like the simplicity of it. Just really making everything just black and white, man. Easy to follow. Yeah.
And so in the, okay, so you said you do the workouts too. So, so take us through that too. What is it, the type of workouts? I'm just trying to give people a picture here about how you live and how you actually, what you actually do here to actually kind of, that makes it work for you, you know? So what's the workouts like?
Very simple, nothing crazy, uniform again. I personally work out 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. Just hypertrophy style training, high volume, moderate weight. I don't do any of the traditional strength training, nor do I work out very light, just enough. Get the muscles going. More than anything, getting the feeling out of it. I like getting that blood oxidation going. I go to the gym, Sean, more for how it makes me feel. Because of the high frequency it puts me in with the endorphins and dopamine, because it can carry me throughout the day. Therefore, my workouts aren't intricate, just very simple. Like for shoulders, I'm talking about literally like shoulder presses with dumbbells, front raises, for chest, dumbbell chest press, nothing crazy. Just hypertrophy style, high volume, moderate weight, nothing crazy. Like everything else that I do, very simple, but supremely consistent, man. And I think that's the key for everything, man. If I wanted to be a bodybuilder competitor, it would be different. I would get more intricate with the workouts, right? The targeting of muscles, what exercise to do, what day, switch it up. But as someone who just wants to be better and feel better and still get results and look good at the same time, keep it simple, man. But yeah, going back to the training, hypertrophy style, basic, just consistent 6 days a week. That's it, man. In and out. That's it.
You say you don't do traditional strength training.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? What's traditional strength training?
I mean, what I mean by that is like people will go to the gym and try to lift heavy as much as they can, very informally. Let's go just do, you know, the main thing to do at the gym, I think in most people's minds, because I did this for a long time, is let's go bench. Let's go bench as much as we can, as much weight, as many reps as we can. Not really a game plan, just really a swashbuckling method, if you will, if there is a method. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, so, and this is how you teach your clients here too, is like you have this very kind of stripped down Spartan approach to things. Like just keep the eating simple, keep the rest simple, keep the workout simple. And it's just, is that how you kind of approach them?
That's it. My motto in life, Sean, my clients are no different. It's keep it simple, stupid. That's it. We overcomplicate things, bro.
Right.
There's no need. I don't even like saying overcomplicate. That's the power of language. Just don't complicate things. Don't even think about overcomplicating. Just don't complicate to begin with. Just keep it simple, stupid. That's it, man. Just be consistent. Consistency is the thing. Let things compound. And that's it, man. Simple, simple, simple.
So if it's that simple, then why do so many people struggle with it?
Lack of discipline. That's what it comes down to. Either you do it or you don't for a prolonged period. I mean, what else can I say? I tell you from experience.
Right.
Just stick to it and you can't lose. Have faith in yourself.
Sure. But the lack of discipline also has a root cause as well, too. We're going through the assessment here and we're kind of cutting through the layers of the onion here. Lack of discipline has a root cause to it as well. So you had to have run up against that a couple times too. If you're actually finding somebody who's struggling with their discipline here too, well, there's a reason for everything. So what's generally their reason for why they can't just stick to their very simple, you know, lifestyle here that you've mapped out for them?
Lack of discipline stems, in my opinion, from lack of faith in self. Okay? You're lacking in self-confidence because you're either told you can't do something or your environment stinks. Okay? People around you didn't amount to much. That's what is in your mind now. Danny can do this or that. So once you start having faith in a bigger vision for yourself, despite whatever has happened to you, when you really have that faith in your heart that you can change and be better and prove yourself, that leads to the enthusiasm, the optimism. That leads to the actionable discipline daily. But it starts from the beginning, your mindset about yourself and your life and what you could be. Once you start having faith in yourself, then you can actually start applying it. Self-assessment, like we said earlier, leads to application. When it's, in this case, personal development becomes discipline. Day in and day out, not missing what you have to do.
Certainly sounds simple enough. Now we've kind of got it more kind of narrowed down here. We have a lack of discipline comes from a lack of belief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, I think that probably explains a lot that has to do with anybody that doesn't amount to what they could amount to. either by influence, either by direct influence or just by observation of environment here. So you have someone here who is struggling with believing in themselves here. So how do you work with them on that?
Just talk to them and say, hey, John, Mr. John Doe, what do you believe you can accomplish in your heart for yourself in mind, body, and spirit? What do you really want? What do you know you can do for yourself? And they'll usually tell me, oh, I know I can lose body fat X amount in a given time. Or I know I can be someone who's consistent in what I do with things like reading productive habits. And so I tell them, hey, that's good. Now, think about how that's going to affect not just you, but your people, your family, your friends, your coworkers, everyone. Don't just make it about yourself. A lot of times it gives people a push, okay? And so once I help them realize that they can influence not just themselves, but others too, that really gives them the boost to, hey, say, I can do this, man. I can do this. From there, we just strip it down to actual minutiae, the actual program itself, the black and white. But it really just comes down to really just narrowing down on what they could be in their minds, not just for themselves, but their people too. And from there, setting up a very simple, actionable game plan.
So you found that having something else in their life other than themselves actually work towards or to actually improve for has been a huge catalyst in kind of causing their changes here. So as opposed to someone who's, say, I don't know, very young, maybe 18, 19 years old, has no family, no kids, anything else like that. And it's just doing everything entirely for themselves here. You have found that it's easier to get people motivated if they have actually something like kids or family or whatever else, or a peer group to actually be an example for.
Just to clarify, it depends. Like if we're talking to somebody who's single, young, without a family, then no, do it for yourself, John. Do it for yourself, brother. Think about what you can be and work on that. Mm-hmm. If someone has a family, then we can dig into that further. So a lot of times people with families, they want to do better for their kids, no matter what, right? And so it's really situational. I should have clarified that. It's situational. If you're single, no one really dependent on you, then do it for yourself. If you have a family, do it for them, if not for you. Either way, find something that motivates you, man. Betterment of self or for others. It's really situational.
Gotcha. So let's talk about managing emotions here, because that obviously plays into a lot of what we're talking about here. So we're talking about vices, we're talking about discipline. That obviously carries over into being able to very effectively manage your emotions and being aware of self here too. I think it's something else that people don't really, people really struggle with is being aware of self here. So you have to know where your weaknesses and your strengths are to really kind of overcome the challenges that are going to present, right? So managing emotions here, how do you work with someone to kind of keep their emotions in line here so they don't get so derailed so easily?
Derailed from the program, if you will?
No, derailed from the program, derailed from themselves here too. I mean, typically when, you know, if you have someone, again, who doesn't really have a strong sense of self or a lot of confidence in themselves, they hit one roadblock and then, or one failure, and then they kind of take that as being lethal and they just fall to pieces entirely. You know, they not only give up on themselves, they give up on everything they've done. I've seen that happen so many times. You know, you try to tell them, you know, it's not the end of the world. You hit one stumbling block. Failure is not deadly, you know, but then they just can't get over it, you know?
I would say two things, man. Keep the end vision in mind. Keep the end vision in mind. Obviously, it's simpler said than done. So then and maybe even simpler sense, really think about your cumulative wins. Have you done well overall today? So is it really what happened today enough to cause a complete derailment? Maybe not, man. Just think about what you've done well overall. Are you a total failure? Probably not. Whatever happened, whether it was in your hands or not, just learn from it, but know that you're winning overall if you're putting an honest effort into programming yourself and your betterment. And so think of your cumulative wins and use that to propel you forward. Not every batter's going to hit the ball every single time, right?
Right.
Why is the situation any different? Think about it like that. Cumulative, not singular.
Sounds great. Makes a whole lot of sense to me. So, all right. So you got this personal development online. Business that you're growing right now. You're still doing health insurance now. at least for a time here. So where do you see yourself going with the program entirely?
Oh, for sure. Just blowing up by helping as many people as possible, man. Over time, and the more I do this, I really find the thrill of helping people, man. Just really having conversations with folks that I'm helping. So fulfilling. It's thrilling, man. And so over time, I've let go of the mindset of trying to make money. I think that holds a lot of people back. And I believe that's what's going to be the propelling thing for me, my saving grace, looking to help people, the feeling that I get from helping people over the desire for money. And so I'm honestly having that encompass everything else that I do. I don't think about money so much anymore. It's important. We got to eat. But I know that by doing the right thing for others and self, karma, if you call it, let's keep it simple, karma, I believe in that.
Yeah.
Just that's going to propel me forward. So I'm going to just be helping a lot of people. I know in my heart, man, because it just elates me. When I have a one-on-one coaching call with somebody, it's so gratifying. And it's funny because even before the call, I do push-ups, get my blood oxidation going. I say to myself, this is about Tony, not you, Danny. This is about Tony, not you, Danny. Talking about a client in particular. And that fuels me, and it feels good, that selflessness. And so adopting that mindset of selflessness and helping others, that's going to freaking blow everything up, bro. I'm not going to do great. And the money's going to come as a result. But more than anything, I'm going to blow up because my heart's in the right place, man. And I can actually honestly say that, man. I got to start just saying that, bro.
Yeah, I can see. I can feel your enthusiasm now. So, well, yeah. So, well, I think you're on the right track here, Danny. And I've seen the results on your Instagram profile here. You got pretty good videos out there. I'll put that in the show links here too when we release the episode here. But so Danny, as a closing tradition on the podcast here, I have something I want the guests to do. I want them to leave the audience with some parting words here. So if you could leave people with only one thing to remember and only one thing, what would it be?
Self-assessment, guys. Honesty is everything. It's liberating. Take note of what you do well and what you don't. Amplify what you do well and eliminate what you don't by being disciplined. Do the right thing daily by yourself. Listen to your conscience. When advice comes, do your best to fight it. Over time, you'll become a habitually disciplined person. That's all it is, guys. That's freedom.
What's the best way to get a hold of you if people want to?
My Instagram, it's Danny Boy Cardenas. B as in boy, O-Y in the middle. Danny Boy Cardenas.
That's it. Gotcha. And like I said, I'll put that in the show notes here. Well, Danny, thanks for coming on, man. Been a great conversation. Good to know you.
You too. And your kid did well, man. His name is Rory, I believe.
Rory, yeah. O-R-R-Y. Yeah, Rory. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, he gets a kick out of doing something outrageous every now and again. He asks me to do it, and he gets all real shy and bashful and then wants to back away. But, you know, that's kind of part of who he is, I suppose. But all right. Well, everyone, thanks so much for tuning in here. Danny Cardenas, he's a personal development coach for men online here. Look for him in the future here. He's going to be blowing up here. Look at his Instagram account here. I'll make it available for you upon release. But thanks for everyone who has tuned in, everyone who ever will tune in. This is Fitness Reborn with Sean. Train hard. I'll see you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you walk away with something useful from the episode. Don't forget that you can subscribe to my publishing platform called Samo Libs. It's the same platform I upload all my episodes, and I write my articles and my blogs and wherever else comes to mind I think is worth sharing with the world. The link is featured at the bottom of the show notes of every episode. By subscribing, you are becoming one of the very first that gets alerted whenever a new episode or a new blog or a new contribution piece becomes available on the platform. You can also follow the show, Fitness Reborn with Sean, by clicking the follow button on either Apple or Spotify or whatever your preferred streaming platform happens to be. I want you to know that your listenership, your viewership, and your continued support and your well-being mean the very world to me. Thank you so much. I hope to see you next time. Take care.